Australia's homelessness problem is growing. That's what researchers behind the Australian Homelessness Monitor are saying. The study is an in-depth, independent, longitudinal analysis examining the changes in the scale and nature of homelessness in Australia. Professor Hal Pawson is a researcher from the University of New South Wales who worked on the study. And joining him is Alice. She's had direct experience with homelessness. Welcome to both of you.
Hello, Patricia. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, good afternoon, Patricia.
Alice, I'm going to start with you. You're a woman in your 60s and you're currently in transitional housing while you wait, while you're on a waiting list for permanent housing.
That's right.
Could you tell us a bit about how you came to experience homelessness?
Yes, I had my own business and things didn't go quite as planned. So I ended up having to close the business down, which meant I had no income and I was renting. So between that and having a heart attack and other associated illnesses, I ended up on the disability benefit, and there's no way in the world you can pay private rent whilst you're on a disability benefit.
If I can bring you in, Professor Hal Pawson, we think of homelessness, I think, in sometimes very narrow ways. Is the story that Alice has just shared part of that story? Is it people that, you know, may have had financial independence and success? Are they in the cohort of people who become homeless very often?
Well, not very often. I mean, a lot of people suffer unexpected reverses in their life, whether it's relationship breakdown or loss of a job or serious illness that came out of nowhere. And what the consequences of that will be different for depending on really what your resources are, what your backup is. So the people who are already in a marginal position are much more at risk when those kind of things happen.
So if I can return to you, Alice, going from being a company director to being unemployed and homeless must have been a shock in you know, moving between such extremely different experiences. What surprised you most about the experience of homelessness?
I think the shame I felt and the attitude of others around me, and also how many people were looking for some sort of accommodation and they just is nothing. I mean, there's just nothing that you can afford. I think that surprised me more than anything.
Professor Pawson, if I can bring you back in, tell me about the broader findings in your study. We talked a bit about, you know, some of those case studies and experiences like Alice's, but what are the main findings of your study?
Well, I mean, I think it was quite well publicised at the time when the ABS published the census results on homelessness, which was only a few weeks ago. They got a fair amount of coverage, and they showed that homelessness has been rising at a national level by about 14% over 5 years, which is substantially ahead of population growth. So it is a problem that is becoming more serious. But what our study, what we've dug down much deeper into the census data and other data that we've brought into play, and we've shown in our report that there's enormous variations across the country. So although, you know, that figure that was published for Australia as a whole maybe doesn't sound too dramatic to a lot of people, the way that homelessness has been rising in most of our capital cities has been on a much higher level than that.
Were there particular groups that emerged as being particularly affected by homelessness in your study?
Well, you absolutely can't get away from the fact that Indigenous people have a much higher incidence of homelessness. So Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders, although the number of homeless people counted by the ABS this time who had Indigenous background was slightly lower than last time, a little bit less, but still 10 times as high as for the white population or the non-Indigenous population per capita. So, you know, the Indigenous Indigenous people make up over 20% of the homeless population, but less than 3% of the total population. So that's the most stark difference in terms of, you know, well, what's the profile like? The other thing which I think is really quite striking about the change over the last 5 years is that there's been the fastest increasing age cohort is older people, is people aged 55 to 74. So they still don't make up a huge proportion of the overall total, but that it was those groups that increased the fastest over the last 5 years.
And Alice, you've spoken about homelessness as a hidden epidemic. What do you mean by that?
Well, I'm talking mainly about older women and a lot of older men. They're couch surfing, they're staying in friends' spare rooms, they're buying camper vans and travelling around Australia so that nobody knows they haven't got a home to go back to. From what I read from the report, about 26% of the homeless were people aged 55 and over. And if we look at maybe, you know, a broad spectrum of maybe half of those were women and half were men, you know, that's a lot of women travelling around and not having a base or somewhere to call home once they've reached 55.
Hal, we know it can be difficult to get an accurate picture of the number of homeless people in Australia. You mentioned those recent ABS statistics.
Yeah.
So how accurate and confident can we be of these numbers?
Well, yeah, you're right. It's actually a very difficult thing to measure, even through something as professionally organised as the census. There's always a certain amount of doubt about the interpretation and the definitions. The ABS do have very, I think, really very sophisticated definitions of homelessness, and they certainly the number that we talk about, 116,000 people on census night homeless in 2016. That number is made up of several components. I mean, and the rough sleepers, which is like what a lot of people think, well, homelessness is just that. That's only a part, that's quite a small part of it. That's about 8,000 people on census night. So there are, a number of other categories of people who, they might have a roof over their head, but, you know, they don't really have a home. What we were able to do in our report, though, was not just rely on the census, albeit that it's possibly the single best source. We actually managed to bring the census data together with data that's collated from records of people who are using homelessness services. So the Australian Institute of Health and Welfare collects data on a routine basis and has done for several years now from those hundreds and hundreds of agencies across the country that provide a range of different services for what they're basically emergency services for people who are either already homeless or they're, you know, it's imminent for them. So that has become really quite recently, it's sort of matured to the point where after several years of that system being in place, the data that it collects has been has got to the stage where it's really a very useful sort of validation for the census numbers. So we've put those two things together in our report, and I think that means that we're able to tell a much more powerful, and I think we can say much more confidently that we can see trends and patterns in the data, because we're not only relying on one particular source, we're relying on those two sources. They're different ways of, they're very different in their methodology, but many of the statistics that come from those two sources are in very close agreement.
I know you talk in the report about welfare services and the impact they have, for instance, new starts. I wonder, Alice, what's your experience been of using welfare services? Has it made it more or less difficult to come out of homelessness?
Well, I can't see myself coming out of homelessness. When I first got sick, I had to go on Newstart, which was quite a shock to the system. And it took 18 months to be eligible for disability benefits. I just can't see. I mean, trying to live on those sort of monies, you know, either Newstart or even disability, is almost impossible. So I can't see me ever getting back into the private sector. I just don't think it's going to happen.
Hal, you've heard Alice describe a pretty bleak way she sees her ability to get back on her feet. So what is the solution? We know, you know, the New Zealand Prime Minister has recently made a promise about, you know, basically dealing with their homelessness issue. We also have a strategy here. What needs to shift?
Well, we don't have much of a strategy. We had a strategy. 10 years ago, we had a strategy. In 2008, the federal government put forward, I think, a very ambitious and, I think, insightful plan, a strategy for halving homelessness by 2020. Sadly, that pledge and that strategy, you know, pretty quickly after that government was replaced, disappeared, and the current government doesn't have any commitment to that. So I think the first prerequisite for serious progress in this area is that we have to have the national leadership is really crucial. And it's been a rare thing, but as I say, it's not unprecedented, because in 2008 we certainly had that. I think, you know, the states and territories can do so much, and certainly they have the sort of direct responsibility for managing and funding homelessness services. But I think if they don't, if there isn't Commonwealth leadership, I think it's quite limited what the states and territories are going to be able to achieve. So I think it is very important that everyone who cares about this, you know, makes a rumpus with their federal member and makes their voice heard, that this is something which is a national, or should be a national, responsibility.
Thank you to both of you for talking. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Professor Hal Pawson is a researcher from the University of New South Wales who worked on this homelessness study. And joining him also was Alice. She has had, of course, direct experience of homelessness. This is RN Drive.